Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Adam Schefter's not a dummy. He's our great NFL ESPN insider. He joins us each and every week, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. He joins us here on game day. Hello, Adam.
Hello there, Mike and Stink. Good morning to you and to all of Colorado. Big night tonight, huh?
A huge night tonight, Adam. I mean, obviously, Broncos, Kansas City, and there's been a lot of things going on with Kansas City injury-wise. What's the latest on Patrick Mahomes? Because, you know, I want him to be well, and he's fun to watch, but I just don't want him to be well on Thursday night.
Well, I don't think he's well, but I think he's well enough to play and be effective. Now, he's not operating at 100%. He's been battling this sprained ankle. Maybe it's a high ankle, maybe it's not, but it's an ankle injury. And he's been battling it since the regular season opener. He initially hurt it against Jacksonville, aggravated it against Indy, and he aggravated it again last week against Houston. And they've lost two straight games against two AFC South teams, both at Kansas City. And this team's too good to lose two straight home games. And it's hard to imagine that they're going to lose three straight games. A team that many forecasted to be in or even win the Super Bowl, losing three straight, that's hard to process, to be honest with you. But I think Mahomes' health is a part of this, and I don't think he's fully healthy, but he will be out there tonight, and he still is very dangerous.
Adam, before we go any further, I have to ask you, what is it like to do the Lambeau Leap?
Well, boy.
I mean, you did it. You did it. Barely, but you did it.
Hold on. So last Thursday, my producers called me. They said, hey, when we're in Green Bay Monday night, how would you feel about closing the show by doing the Leap? I said, okay. Now, again, I'm all game for things like this. I've continually done things that are well outside my boundaries of athleticism throughout my time at ESPN. But I will just say that the only thing I was worried about was tearing my Achilles, ripping my groin, pulling my hamstring, something that would be detrimental to my health, something really bad. And so I was just petrified about that, to be honest with you. And there were no rehearsals. There was no practice. You just try to get through it. And so I did it. And I have to say, I was, just hear me out, I was so relieved and elated and honestly proud of myself that I got up there. And someone came over and said, you want to watch this? Let me see it. And they showed it to me. And I said, oh, my God. That is so embarrassing. I jumped maybe 1 inch. Like, I thought I got up there. I'm like, wow, I got up there. That's pretty good. And then I saw the replay. I'm like, man, I got zero hops. I've got no vertical. I am a 52-year-old washed up, you know, athletically challenged guy, and that's just the way that it's going to be for the remainder of my life.
I don't care. Let me tell you, I just looked at the video again, and we just posted it on our Twitter handle. Dude, mad props for you, because there were literally, I mean, there's 60,000 people. You did this in front of 60,000 people, and you got up over the wall. I don't care how it looked. You did it, man. I mean, that took guts. Major onions. Double order.
Adam, this is what I'm going to tell you. No matter how bad you feel about where your athleticism is, you can always put up Darren Revelle video of him running 40s, and you can always feel better about yourself. Because I told my man Darren Revelle, I was like, hey, listen, brother, you got onions just to post that, because that's the worst looking run I've ever seen in my entire life. So you've got that going for you, Adam.
Well, thank you. So it's not good, but it's better than Revelle, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, mad respect, Adam. Mad respect. Hey, back to some NFL stuff. The Jalen Ramsey trade is, he got what he wanted, right? He wanted out. He got out.
Yeah.
Jacksonville got a pretty good haul in return. Does this just further increase the odds that the trade deadline coming up here in about 10 days could be pretty wild?
Well, you know, what's interesting is we saw three trades on Monday. Or Tuesday, what was that? Whatever the day that was. I don't know. Anyway, it was three trades that day. And again, I think we've seen an uptick in activity towards the trade deadline with younger general managers and more aggressive thinking and teams seeing the way that other teams have operated and succeeded by doing it. And it's also a question of winners and losers and short-term thinking and long-term thinking. And the losing teams are thinking long-term, and the winning teams are thinking short-term, and you marry that up, and you've gotten more and more activity at the trade deadline. And I would think that we'll see more of it again leading up to the trade deadline on Tuesday, October 29th. I'm going to guess we see 2, 3, 4 more trades, maybe 5. It's just that the NFL has been more aggressive and more open-minded about these kinds of moves, and I would think that we'll continue to see that. You know, the other thing that's interesting about the Jalen Ramsey trade is I think more and more we're seeing players see some power in the NFL and taking matters into their own hands. We saw Khalil Mack do it last year, Jadeveon Clowney and Minkah Fitzpatrick do it this year. Jalen Ramsey really did it. Like, he was never going to play it down for the Jaguars until the trade deadline came and went and they threatened to take away his money. He just wasn't going to play. And he met with the owner last week, and the owner thought he was going to play, but he wasn't. And it was a stare down. And I guess you could say Jalen Ramsey won, except Jacksonville got back 2 1s and a 4 for a player, so it won 2. So there are a lot of winners here.
What about in Denver? I mean, you know, I know right now they're trying to win, and they feel pretty good about what they've done the last couple of weeks. But you lose this game Thursday night. I know, like, I don't think they're actively, and John Elway said he's not actively trying to seek anybody, but there could be people reaching out for a Vaughn Miller or Chris Harris Jr. or something of that nature. If they lose this game tonight, does that open up the kind of trade avenue for the Denver Broncos, in your opinion?
Here's my question. Who does Denver play next week, too?
They're at Indy.
Okay. Tough game. So, I do believe, and nobody said this to me, it's just common sense. I do believe that these next two games will go some way towards determining how active they are or aren't in the trade deadline and what direction they go. Like, if they win the two games, I wouldn't be shocked to see them go out and try to trade for a player. If they lost both games, I could see them shedding a player or two. And if they split, I could see them trading a player, like an Emmanuel Sanders, maybe. Okay, so there's a lot riding on these two games, a lot. And I think it will help dictate and determine the direction of this franchise for the remainder of 2019. If they somehow pull an upset tonight, I think they're going to be more emboldened and more empowered to be more aggressive and hold on to their own guys as well. If they lose and they lose next week and you come up 2 straight losses going into the trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised to see a player or two dealt. So a lot comes down to these 2 weeks, because if they win both games, can find a way to win both games, and I think that that's ambitious, but look, that, you know, it could get done, then they're going to feel really good about their chances at making a run. And if they don't win both games, they're not. So I think it's pretty simple. I mean, that's just common sense to me.
Hey, is Jason Garrett and Dan Quinn, two coaches that hot seat is getting very hot right now?
Well, listen, in the NFL, we could do this every year on October 17th. There's always going to be coaches who are under pressure to win, and I think that those two seats are some of the hottest seats right now. Dan Quinn is definitely in trouble. I think everybody would agree to that. You know, there's going to be changing the landscape. And Jason Garrett, the funny thing there is, we talk about Jason Garrett every year. Every year. And I think that we should wait through the season. And you know, and the thing is that on Jason Garrett, you know, the funny thing is 3 weeks ago, there was an actual conversation in social media and on ESPN or whatever it is. Should Jason Garrett be extended? Should he be extended? 3-0. Should they give him an extension? That was actually a topic. And 3 weeks later, the question is, should they fire Jason Garrett? I was grabbing my morning coffee this morning, and the guy said to me, hey, big Cowboy fan, if they lose Sunday night to the Eagles, are they going to fire Garrett on Monday? I mean, it is unbelievable that you know, the ups and downs, how reactive people are, you know, to the latest when nobody wants to be patient and let the season play out and assess things at the end. Everybody wants an answer and a conclusion right now. And so this year we've extended Jason Garrett. We fired Jason Garrett. it's comical to me. It really is.
Okay, I want an answer. Do the Broncos come away with a victory and in Thursday night, or do you think Kansas City? You already said you have a tough time imagining losing three in a row. So what do you got?
It's hard to pick against the Chiefs, and it's hard to pick against the Chiefs when they're coming off two straight losses. And, you know, listen, the home team in a Thursday night game has an advantage, I think, in not having to travel. So it sets up about as well as it can for Denver with Sammy Watkins out and Eric Fisher out and Patrick Mahomes hobbled. Tyreek Hill scares the bejesus out of me, and Travis Kelce's due to erupt. And I just think that they're going to have their hands full tonight. That's what I think.
All right. Again, check out Adam's Lambo Leap on our Twitter page.
Lambo Hop.
And the thing about it is that it's not that. I mean, you're like standing basically around the 30 yard line, and it's not that far before game time. The crowd's already in the stands, and you take off at a good trot heading for the stands. And I'm telling you, man, at that moment, I'm looking at you going, oh my God, I can't believe what is going, I can't imagine what's going through your mind at that moment. What am I doing?
My adrenaline was pumped. There aren't many times that I could feel my heart pounding in life, right? It doesn't really happen. It happened the first time I ever did Sports Reporters on ESPN. It happened when I was doing sidelines for Madden and Michaels on NBC on a Sunday night telecast when Andrew Kramer was at the Olympics and they had me filling in. I felt my adrenaline pumping, and it happened Monday night when I'm running towards the wall and just praying to God that I clear the wall and not wind up with a fall on an ambulance call.
And thanks to the people in the front row who gave you a little bit of assist pulling you up, too.
That's fine. You know, but what happened is I got up there, and I was, like, sliding back, and nobody was holding on to me, and I'm holding on for dear life because I know my producer said, look, we're going to be on for 15 seconds. If you get up there, just hold on. And I'm like, and it was so hard to hold on, and I was so overjoyed and elated. It was something I'll always remember. It was kind of cool.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Adam.
Good work, Adam.
Thank you,
Adam.
Good work.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Go ahead. Who are you guys picking tonight?
Oh, we're taking the Broncos. Come on,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely. Broncos win.
Both of you guys?
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
Well, why do you think that?
It all sets up. You could not get the Chiefs in a better situation than what you have right now. Lost two in a row. Got to be questioning themselves a little about their ability to stand up against teams that just challenge them with the run game. Mahomes is banged up. Short work week. They got a lot of injuries. I just think it's the perfect. If you're ever going to beat the Chiefs, it has to happen tonight.
Well, that's what I did say. So who plays big for Denver tonight? Who comes through? Where's the big game?
I think both running backs have a big game. I think this is the coming out party for Noah Fant. I think he'll have a game in the red zone where he scores a touchdown, maybe two. It's going to have to be that. I think defensively, you're going to see some of the personnel changes they've made on the defensive side pay dividends. Von Miller's going to have a big game tonight with Noah Fisher out there. I just think those are the things that, but again, these are things that have to happen. You know, they have to happen. So I'm going with the have to happen stuff. Kind of like you have to get up on top of that wall.
You have to.
When you're doing the Lambeau
leap.
You
have to. And you did it.
And you did it. So you're my inspiration for a Broncos win tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
It'll be interesting to see if you guys are right. It won't surprise me. I just, like I said, you know how I feel about tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Adam Schefter joining us, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealer.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.